Yeah, maybe we'll just open it up ourselves. I don't have a pen and paper to keep track of any call signs, but if anybody's out there for the K2IRTNet, this is Kilowatt Fox 2, Whiskey Romeo with N2KIN, and we're going to kick off the New York City Transit Authority weekly on-air net. If anybody out there like to join, please feel free. Anybody's welcome to come on in, talk, and sit down and pull up. This is KF2WR. Any check-ins? Am I making the machine all right? I'm just on the HT.
Something?
Yeah, how am I doing to the machine? I'm just on an HT here in the city.
You're doing great, man. You're full quieting. No problems at all. I think they moved to repeater, didn't they?
You know, I think they did. I think Val and Lobie were involved with something with that. And, I couldn't hit it the other day from home, and I thought maybe something was up with it. But I'm sure we'll get this skinny from Val or Lobie.
It is stronger over here than what it used to be. And over here in Queens. And, since you mentioned, I think they moved the repeater to Bronx or something. So, maybe I get a better line of sight over here. And by the way, are you at the are you at work or at home?
Well, we're at the work QTH right now. Midtown Manhattan, I'm up on the roof. Just looking around. Beautiful night out with without a doubt. I like this kind of weather. And my perch up here gets a little precarious when the dead of winter rolls around or it's raining. But other than that, man, I got a million-dollar view.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't you love work, huh? I thought the PCC was kind of low compared to the other buildings around it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is kind of low compared to what's around, but it's still just a wonderful view. You're here in the city, you know, you don't get this out west, you don't get this out in Jersey where I'm from. And if that repeater went up to the Bronx, that would explain a little why I was a little fuzzy on it the other day, all the way from New Jersey instead of Brooklyn. But we'll find that out. Hey, were you working with the website?
Yeah, I did. As a matter of fact, I had a pretty completed one just the end of last week, and I showed it to Greg, and he made some comments on it, and we work our ways and basically just brush it up as much as we can. So next week, during the face-to-face meeting, you guys should have a chance to see it in action. And it wasn't anything fancy or anything, world class, but you know, I think the website basically just get across the point and has some contact information, some pictures, some activities and stuff, so you know, just try to get a word out and get more attention.
You know, we should also look into in addition to the site here on 10s, I think we should look into doing like a GoDaddy.com, pool our resources and get secure a domain, a K2IRT domain in the future. Might make for a nice winter project. And we can open up a few mailboxes. It could be like your name at K2IRT. I think GoDaddy's pretty cheap on that. It's only like $6 a month. We get like 10 or 15 mailboxes and a bunch of megabytes to play with. So maybe we'll bring that up at the next face-to-face.
Yeah, I think that's definitely doable. And we actually had that in the invention when we first talking about the website. and basically just have two versions, and hopefully one would mirror the other, one on tens and one on the outside. And you know, the one on the outside, we can add more links to it, so that you know, we can have people go on our website and just look at different things and find out more about, you know, different activities that we have. And I think they're talking about this sweepstakes that's coming in November, and you know, I think that's one activity that we want to kind of stress on. And by the way, do you know what the sweepstakes is? I mean, what is the nature of the contest? Because I haven't been to one before.
No, I'm not familiar with the sweepstakes. Not familiar at all. But I'm sure a couple of keystrokes on Google, we can find out. We can pretty much find out what it is, without a doubt. Yeah, I'd like to put up the K2IRT.com. I think that would be really great. And we could put a bunch of links up there, like from the fine fellows who graciously lend us this machine on a weekly basis. We can put some props up there for them, and as well as member sites, and I think a few members might have something brewing of their own. I think that would be a lot of fun. We can do that.
Yep, there's definitely a lot of rooms for expansions, and you know, you can do a lot of things with websites, and we can have our own message boards and internet forums. I haven't been able to, you know how to make a nice message form on the internet yet, but you know, as we go along the way, we'll find out, and you know, we'll learn from the process. I'll be standing by here to see if there's any other check-ins coming in to the New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. This is N2KIN with KF2WR.
This is KB2VEQ checking in.
You?
KB2VEQ checking in.
The other check-in, come on in. KF2WR, and I think I have net control here at this time with no paper in my hand. So I didn't catch your name. Val, KB2VEQ, if you could just hold on 1 second. The other station who's not the transit employee, welcome on board. If you can come back with your name and call sign, greatly appreciated.
And the name is Gordon. I am on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. The call sign is Kilo 2, Gulf Lima Whiskey.
All right, Gordon, Kilo 2 Golf Lima Whiskey, doing this from memory. Very good, nice to make your acquaintance, and hey, thanks again for stopping by. Always welcome here, resident of the Upper East Side. I'm down over here on the, I guess you call it Upper West Side or Midtown West, right across town from you. Great night if you're out, it really is, it's a great night. So I'll come around again, we'll pick up just a little further. Hey Val, how are you? KB2VEQ, KF2WR.
Going fine, Andy. How are you? And I think I heard Dennis in there, and I don't know if that was Charlie also, but how are you guys? K2RT group. Hope everybody's doing okay, and I had a little fog over on my side of town, but that's Bayside, Queens, New York. And other than that, I just got in here to say hello, and I'll stand back and let's hear the topic of discussion, and we'll go on from there. KB2VEQ, back over to you, Andy. KF2WR, correct?
That is correct, Val. Thank you very much. Our topic of discussion here, by the way, you got a great signal tonight. Topic of discussion is websites and what we're going to do with them. And, yeah, Dennis, I had set up a bulletin board. In fact, I'll send you the link. I had set up this whole Yahoo bulletin board thing. or Google or Yahoo or one of them. I haven't even checked in a while. I had all pictures and stuff on there. I had a forum set up, but didn't get much use. It's just sitting there right now. Send you a link. You might be able to get an idea or two off of that. So your link is good here in transit. I'll just send it that way, okay?
Yeah, sure thing, Andy. You can look at my name under the Outlook directory anyway, and that's the most current one. And good evening to Val and Gordon. And everybody got a great signal here. I'm also over here in Queens, and just near Forest Hills, and it's kind of hot and humid outside, and I just found out that my my apartment just graciously turned off the air conditioning, which is great in this weather. And yeah, like I said, like Andy said, we're talking about the website that is coming up, and if anyone that's going to be at the next face-to-face meeting, then you guys should have a chance to look at it and you know, make some comments yourself. And we could just kind of do a little show and tell, just walk over, you know, the different topics that we're going to put in the website, pictures, contact information, and just try to get everybody's input, and we'll come up with a consensus, and we'll, you know, share that off to the TAS people. And like Andy said, we're gonna be opening up another outside transit website, which at this time I think will be pretty similar to the one on TAS, but we're also gonna have a message board and you know, more fancy things to it. And back to you, Andy. KF2WRON2KIN.
Okay, N2KIN, KF2WR returning. Yeah, fine business. We'll get that rolling. We'll tie a few ribbons on that next time I see you, Dennis. I look forward to working with that. And Gordon, how are you? What's new? And come on in for a little intro, and let me get to know you. KF2WR, over to you, Gordon.
800, which I am in the midst of programming, and until now I've only had an HT, so this is my step up into the big leagues. And I just tested around, and I was picking up your signal, full quieting at something like 8 different NR2OW transmitters, so I guess this thing really works.
I say the rig sounds great, man. The rig really sounds good, you know? Hey, how big is the manual for that thing? Does it look like a phone book?
No, not too much. It's actually, the manual for my HT, which is a Yaesu VX6, is a lot thicker than this. What's helping me out is that, first of all, I'm on the, what I would call the 14th floor. My wife assures me that since the floor below us is the 12th floor, we're really on the 13th floor, but of course nobody lives on the 13th floor, so we're on the 14th floor, and I'm using a 27-inch mag mount whip, which is stuck just outside the window to the top of an air conditioner, so it's fairly high up, and obviously the signal is coming in, and from what you say, it's also getting out.
Yes, your signal's emanating very nicely, very nicely. If I wasn't in the dark, I'd try to hit the reverse on this thing and see if I had you on the input, but I'm pretty much in the pitch black up here. And how do you like that V6? I was looking at the VR7, is that, I think, the waterproof edition of that. I was looking at it last week down at Ham Radio Outlet. I was within inches of picking it up. The price wasn't bad. It was he was looking at $295, which was really an appetizing price. Are you happy with the 6?
Absolutely delighted. I think they're really, I think I paid $249. I can't imagine the price has gone up by that. I got licensed in the spring, and my instructor recommended it. The difference between the 6 and the 7 is a quad band. It does 440, 220, 2 meter, and 6 meter, and this was a tri-band, 440, 220, and 2 meter. The difference is that when you get into 220, the 7 puts out only 300 milliwatts, and the 6 puts out a full 1.5 watts, and I've had no trouble picking up 220 repeaters in both this area and and couldn't be happier with it.
Yeah, those seem to be the reviews overall I've been getting. I think I'll have to take another run back down there and pick one of those up and give me something new to play with. This is just Tim with them on now. It's just a 2 meter, and you know, it's fun to play with, but I'd like a little bit more variety, or you know, just be able to expand it a little. Fine business, Gordon. All right, let's push it over to gosh, see, I don't have a pencil and paper up here. Let's bring it over to Dennis. Dennis, how are you?
I'm okay here. I just about to get ready for dinner, so Andy, I got a record so far with the I just jot down the call signs of the name here. So I don't know if you guys keep a paper record of it, but in case you need it, you can just give me a shout. And I think I'll be on the side here. Oh, by the way, I just put in the papers to become a VE, and hopefully that will be, you know, coming in the next couple of weeks or months or so, and you know, we can start running our VE session at the K2RT. And over to Val, KB2VEQ, and to KIN, and I'll be listening.
Okay, this is KB2BEQ. Fine, yeah. I didn't get all of what Gordon was saying. He was saying that he's using the HT, Andy. And if so, I have an old Yaesu also. The, FT50R that I've had about, oh goodness, at least 12 years or so. And I really enjoy the Yaesu. I think it has one of the best sounds, especially the HT of any of the other HTs that I know of out there, and I really like it and enjoy it. However, I'm operating from the ICOM 746 Pro currently, and I guess I found that the sound is pretty good on this also, and I just saw Charlie today, and I reminded him of the meeting on air, and so he may be joining us a little later. He said if he got home in time, he would also join us, and that's about all I have right now until I just wanted to also mention that there's a HamFest October 7th at the Hall of Science. If anybody want to go out and pick up some items over there, you know, I think I'm going to try to get over there and look for that 160 ham stick, and I may throw that up on the roof or in the tree or something. Try to pick those guys up at night on the 72 rack tube on their 160 frequency. And I'll turn it back over to you, Andy. This is KB2VEQ. Back over to you, Andy. KF2WR, right?
Yeah, call sign correct there, Val. And I might meet you at that ham fest that Sunday. I might just run over there in the morning before I have to come in here to the salt mine, just to, you know, kick a few parts. I think we had another station trying to check in there. Anybody want to check in to the K2IRT? New York City Transit, Amateur Radio Club Net. Please feel free. Come now. No copy. Please try again. That's you, Charlie. Do a dance. Maybe it'll work. Does anybody else have copy on that?
WB2SGT. Sugar Golf Tango.
I got zero copy on that, but welcome on board anyway. If you want to try again, and maybe you can adjust position. I think the repeater has moved, so if you would as before, you would might have to change your position as the repeater has changed its position. KF2WR, let's give it a shot again.
Andy, I think that's Peter.
And I'm not getting copy on him. All right, fellas, I'm getting the call to run out of here. I got to run downstairs for a few moments. So, if Val, you wind picking up the net for a few.
No problem, no problem. I think that last call in there was Peter. Sorry, Peter, we're not picking you up right now. The repeater was very bad last week, also on Thursday, and we were able to pick Andy up from Jersey barely, and he sounded almost like you did, just a little clearer, a little better, but Charlie and I were talking, and we could barely scratch out each other, but it's a lot better today, and so I'm going to turn it over to Gordon right now, so you can come back with us, Gordon. K2GLW, come in for KB2VEQ and the K2RT net.
K2GLW, well, I'm just back from Seattle, and I have two things to report. First of all, we make a terrible mistake here in the way we create repeaters. We put them on buildings, and what we should be doing is what they do out there. We should be putting them on mountaintops 3,000 and 4,000 feet high, because they have repeaters that just cover it. The coverage is unbelievable. They have repeater nets that cover the whole state of Washington, spill into Oregon, Idaho, Montana, into Canada, and it's really fascinating. Listen, the other thing that's happened in Seattle, they try to install a light rail system there, underground tunnel through the central city area, and apparently they got it all wrong. And the insulation quickly wore out, and there were a lot of shorts and a lot of problems with it. They shut down the light rail system and adopted the tunnels to buses, and they had buses running all over Central City underground. Well, now it was shut down for a few years. They have now reopened it. They have buses running there now, but in 2009, downtown Seattle will be crisscrossed underground by a light rail system. And everyone is pretty excited about that. I don't know the specifics because it's not my business, but I'm something of a transit buff, and I've been fascinated by the whole process. The other thing that happened out there, of course, is they voted to extend their monorail from where it runs now, which is about a mile and a half all the way out to the airport, and then once they had voted on it, they found out the cost was going to be absolutely prohibitive. So it goes back to being just a little curiosity. But the light rail system underground is quite interesting. K2GLW.
Okay, this is KB2VEQ in the K2RT net. That sounds interesting, and I'll get back to you on that. Let's see if Dennis is in there. Into KIN. Dennis, if you're in there, come on in.
Yeah, through here, Val, and yeah, Gordon mentioned about the large repeater coverage over in the western states, and actually I'll be going to Arizona for training in December for about a week, and I was just, you know, wondering if I should bring my ham radio along with me, and I noticed that Phoenix has like almost 100 different repeaters, and almost there's one on every single frequency, and you know, I guess they have, I don't know if they install the repeaters on the mountaintops or anything, but from what Gordon was saying, it sounds pretty interesting to have such a large coverage on a single repeater, and I bet these privileges, we're not getting that in the city for a pretty foreseeable time, so that should be pretty interesting. And thanks for mentioning that, Gordon, and I think I'll be giving a second thought to that. Back to you, Val. This is that to TIN, and I'll be out for now, so I'll be listening on the side. KB2VQN to TIN.
Roger, this is KB2VEQ and the K2RT net. I'm just going to drop it for just a second, Gordon, if you don't mind, to see if it's anybody else, if anyone else would like to check into the K2RT net. I'm going to drop it now and wait for your call. Come on in.
Long-haul truckers, a lot of them have ham. You have a lot of people who are sort of
isolated pockets up there. So there's always a lot of talk online, and I found that there was almost never a time when there wasn't conversation on four different repeater groups, a couple of others. One seems to be populated very heavily by Seattle area cops. So by all means, wherever you're going, take the HT, get the repeater guide, and it will just add an extra dimension onto the visit. K2GLW, back to the group.
This is KB2VEQ. Just going to stand by for a minute, Gordon, and see if there's any late check-ins in the K2RT group. Hold on. Try again. This is KB2VEQ and the K2RRT net. Come on in. Okay, I guess that was just a passerby. It's interesting. But, yeah, we tried, Garden, what can I tell you? And it's getting late now, and I was trying to wait for Andy to come back in there, but we were running a little short on the group tonight, and I'm just going to let you go in and get your final, and then I'll back out with my final, and we'll cut it off for this session, and pick it back up on the next Thursday, which we do our 8 o'clock, typically till about 9 o'clock, K2RRTNet. Back over to you, Gordon, KB2VEQ.
I've been on this a couple of times. I do disaster response for the Red Cross, and they had been working me. I had been on shifts on Thursday night, and I remember joining in the group once while we were cleaning up after a fire in Brooklyn. I came out for a few minutes and said hello, and I think that was just after the system was flooded out by those heavy rains, and I commended everyone on an incredible job of getting everything up and running again. Seattle's problem is, you know, the occasional snow and the rain and the steep hills can really make mass transit very, very difficult. And the whole idea of putting stuff underground is, first of all, you keep it dry, you reduce some of the hills, and you speed people along because there's no traffic. I used the tunnel a few times on buses before they shut it down. It was going to reopen the day after we left, so I haven't seen it reopen, but can't wait to see when the whole light rail system opens up in 2009. That's going to be an incredible development. I'm not sorry to see the fact that the monorail didn't get extended. It's when all is said and done, the monorail system is pretty ugly, and I'd rather see perhaps a ground level light rail system extended out to the airport. All right, that's about as much as I have to say. Good to be with you tonight. K2GLW and my 73 is for the night.
Okay, I was just letting it drop there for a second, Gordon. Very interesting, and do come back, and you know, it's always a pleasure to hear you in there, and I do remember your conversation and your kudos in reference to how they handled the flood. It was a very tough thing, and you know, I was also inconvenienced on that myself, and I rode, typically I have a 20-minute ride from East New York to downtown to the hub at 370 J Street. And I ultimately end up going around the horn and finally made it into Manhattan and couldn't get out. I ended up having to, for the first time, walk across the Brooklyn Bridge to get back. And the weird thing, because I ran into three people that I knew that also worked for the transit at the two Broadway headquarters, and we were waving at each other and smiling as we were passing each other on the top of the Brooklyn Bridge going to the transit at two different work locations. So it was really unusual and a fun thing. We made it out of a real big joke. But I was glad to see it get back to normal that afternoon, and I was able to get home in time. So it everything worked its way out, and I guess they're going to be addressing those areas that had difficulty, and you know, we hope that they'll spend enough money in getting it fixed up to the point where they can, you know, get rid of some of the water if it comes in from the street. They can also get rid of it. Problem that the typical situation that we may have if a water main break or something like that. It's an isolated area, and we were able to, you know, pump it out into the sewers system, and, you know, that created a problem because all the water was coming from the surface going into the sewer system, so it was, you know, just shoveling stuff against the tide, basically what it amounted to, and we ended up losing for a few hours. So when it finally got down to the point where we could pump out, they got that taken care of and traffic moving back. And if I ever get an opportunity to go to Seattle again, I will get back in there. And I just remember so many days of rain. It did break, but I could see how that would be a depressing place to live. You know, I guess I haven't been to England, but I hear it's like that in England. Travel pretty much around the world, but there's just a few isolated spots that I've never been and really didn't particularly want to care about going, but I did travel the Far East and Hong Kong, China, and Kowloon, and many other spots in the Far East, and back over to you know, Spain, Portugal, and Africa, and seen a lot of beautiful things and beautiful places. I'm going to let the repeater drop here just to see if it's anybody else who want to do a late check-in, and then I'll say 73 to you, Garden. This is KB2VEQ and the K2RRT net for my final.
Sounds like the repeater's backed up again. You still there?
Roger, still here.
If Seattle gets a lot of rain from November through February, it rains almost every day, and people sort of get used to it. We were out there once, and it had rained for 28 straight days. There had been some rain every day for 28 straight days, and the 29th day was gorgeous. Clear blue skies, and people are going around muttering, "Oh, we're not going to set the record." The record was 32 straight days. And here they get a nice, beautiful day, and they're muttering because they're not going to set the record for rain. This is kind of offset because everything is lush and green. You walk out, and there are green trees and shrubs and everything. And it also never gets very cold. You know, it can let snow. So you get the rain, but you really get pretty mild, pleasant weather. You don't have to have all the winter gear that we have to have out here. Don't have to have snow tires or boots or anything else for the weather. So there's compensations for it.
WB7 AVF listening.
Come on, WB7 AVF. This is KB2VEQ and the K2RRT net. Come on with your check-in.
Not yet. So, thanks for having me on the group. K2GLW clear.
Thank you very much, but, well, you know, rain is part of the Pacific Northwest, and it's not for everybody, so I just wanted to add a 2 cents worth comment and echo the last cue so that, indeed, weather in Seattle is rainy, but it's never too inclement or never too cold, so you get used to it. Enjoying listening to you guys. I'll pass it back to control. WB7 AVF.
Okay, I'm sorry, WB7 AVF. I didn't get your name. Could you come back with that, please?
Oh, forgive me. That's Robert, R-O-B, Rob, Romeo, October, Bravo.
Okay, thank you, Robert. We were just finishing up here with the K2RRT net. We meet every Thursday from 8 to 9 with New York City Transit Amateur Radio Club. I don't know if you've checked in before on the net, but we run the net from 8 to 9 on Thursday night. You're welcome to join us. Always an informal discussion, and we start out with talking about transit and trains and things like that, and it just goes on to basically whatever the group is itself to for that night. And like I say, it's informal, and you can always join us here anytime, Thursday night from 8 to 9. and I'm going to give let you go ahead, and Gordon's out, and the rest of the group pretty much backed out, so I'm going to let you go come on in for one final, and then I'll check out. And I want to thank the repeater owners and operators for letting us use the repeater once again.
Very good, and I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for letting me break in here. I heard the tail end of the discourse, and I found it very pleasant. And we'll listen in again here on 230, next Thursday. Fine business there. Yandy, the home QTH is Seattle. I'm here in New York studying, but very much enjoying New York City and this part of the country. Very, very interesting and fun place to be. So I wasn't trying to put up a big defense for Seattle, and just making mention that, of course, that Seattle and Portland, you know, have their charms as well. Even Boston has its charms, right? In any case, we'll listen in again, gentlemen, and very, very thanks again, 73U, all of you. WB7AVF, clear.
Okay, this is KB2VEQ, and just want to thank each and every one of you for coming in and participating with us tonight. And typically we have our face-to-face meeting once a month. Usually it's on the first Thursday of the month, and the remaining weeks we're on the air with our K2RT on-air meeting. Unfortunately, this week, because of various holidays, we did not have our face-to-face. But we're meeting on air, and we will have our face-to-face, I think it's next week on the 11th, and then we'll pick it back up the following week on air. And I just want to say 73 to each and every one of you, and thank the repeat owners and operators again for letting the K2RT group share in their repeaters. And this is KB2VEQ saying 73 and clear.